Well, greetings, friends around the world. This is Herbert W. Armstrong with the good news of the world tomorrow. There is no greater question before the world right now than the question of who will rule outer space. Space flight is no longer a matter of science fiction. It is here. My friends, what does it mean? Where is it leading? What is all of this going to mean to you? Whoever rules outer space will rule the whole Earth. Is this rule going to be in the hands of man, or is there a supreme, most high God who already now rules outer space? And if so, will God ever permit man to conquer and to rule this outer dominion of space? All over the world today, people are excited and vitally interested in this new conquest of man into the realms of space beyond this Earth's atmosphere. Men of science have a timetable for space travel. They plan to go and to fly human beings flying into space to the moon and back in our time and generation. Man has already shown that he has dominion over the ground, the water, and the air. Man can speed over the ground by the use of the wheel faster than any animal. Man can fly through the air faster than any bird by his airplanes. And man and his submarines can swim underwater across the oceans faster than any whale or fish. Now man looks presently at a new phase of life to conquer a fourth dimension, if you please, outer space. But in all this talk about these new flights into outer space, we've been hearing absolutely nothing about God. In your newspapers and your magazines and broadcasts, telecasts and discussions, you don't hear God mentioned. Now, what's happened to God anyway? Has he gone way off? Or is God dead? What's happened to God? Does God enter into all this new development in this world? I want you to notice the dominion over the solid earth, the waters of the sea, and the air is merely dominions over the three components of this earth. But when man sets out in a conquest of outer space, it's time to remember that that is not a part of the earth, and man is an earthbound creature. In the very beginning, here is what God said at the time of creation. And the Eternal said, or God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea. That puts man into the sea. And over the fowl of the air, yes, a man goes into the air and has dominion over it. God gave him that dominion. And over the cattle and over all, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And there you have the surface of the earth. And God gave man that dominion. But God has not given man dominion over outer space, my friends. Man has forgotten his creator, and he has forgotten what God has given to him. Now, I've said before, however, that unless the God who rules the universe stops him, that man will succeed in space travel. The mind of man is actually capable of almost anything, and it is capable of perfecting space travel, given sufficient time to work it out. Let me tell you, my dear friends around this world, it's time for you to become informed of the terrifying significance behind this bold attempt of man to penetrate and to conquer the entire universe. One scientist has said that this new race to invade outer space will open to man the gates of heaven. Those are mighty words. And if there be a God who is created and who rules this universe, then this whole frenzied project of this world's science and technology is a mighty challenge to God. Is God going to do anything about it? Is he concerned about it? What is this that men are about to do? And where will it all end? Will humanity actually destroy itself in the struggle for control of the planets and the universe in this era of the hydrogen bomb and of weapons that are now capable of destroying all human life from off the face of this earth? How much further can man's achievements continue before the God of all this universe will intervene in human affairs? What is the impelling motive that drives the nations to struggle over barren planets on which human beings would have to live imprisoned in space jackets, I ask you? I want you to consider a few facts, my friends. We have entered the age of space flight, yes. But this is also the age of mass inferiority. Confronted with the modern scientific and technological inventions, the overwhelming majority of human beings recognize their individual inadequacy to cope with the world in which they live. They feel inferior. They become conscious of their human weaknesses. But I want you to notice how man is trying to solve this problem and the mistakes that he is making. As we stand on the threshold of this startling new age created by the mind of man, we all suddenly recognize that we are bodily, earthbound creatures. Our bodies are earthbound. Mortal man was created with powers of mind capable of taking him far out into the universe, yes, my friend, capable of space flight. But in contrast, we are all born with earthbound bodies. Our bodies are unable by themselves to survive away from this earth. Our life is absolutely dependent on breathing air from this earth's atmosphere, on eating food that can grow only in the kind of soil that is found on this earth, warmed by the sun and also moistened by the rain that falls from the sky on this earth. Now, in venturing into outer space, man has to carry these needs with him. He cannot find any air to breathe on the moon. There is no rain there to grow food, even if there was the kind of soil in which it could grow. Poisonous gases fill the atmosphere of the other planets. Man's supply line must originate from this earth, and he has to keep in contact with the earth and derive his life to keep his body going from the earth. No matter where he goes, he is earthbound. Man is a veritable son of the soil. Man is indeed made of the dust of the ground. Yes, my friends, man is an earthbound creature. He is made in his whole body of the dust of this ground, and he must stay here in order to sustain it. Now, in such a frustrating state, human beings want to run away from themselves. They want to escape the problems confronting them. And so man wants now to rise above his natural bodily inferiority. Can you see what vanity it is? My friends, the one great ingredient in human nature is vanity. You might say that human nature is vanity, and it comes from the very fact that man was not made complete. The eternal God made man of the dust of the ground, but he made him to need the Holy Spirit of God, a life, a mind, if you please, a spirit that comes only from God Almighty, and man has cut himself off from God. And man is inadequate, and man is incomplete, and he feels his inadequacy. And therefore, my friends, that inferiority it's a very disagreeable feeling. It's a very unpleasant feeling. And man attempts to rise above it, and so he tries to deceive himself by thinking he's something bigger than he is. And then vanity is man's effort to rise above his inferiority. Now, God has provided a way for man to rise above it, but man doesn't want to do it God's way. I want to explain a few things that you probably have never thought of and never heard of and never heard explained before in all your life. I want you to notice what vanity man has and how blind to the real purpose of life the nations are. Why were we put on this earth? Man was put here for a purpose, but man has forgotten the purpose. Can we not see the reason behind the fact that our minds are purposely limited by our bodies? Maybe the mind of man would be able to conquer space and to fly into outer space. But he'd have to take water and air with him, and even soil and food from this earth, or he could not survive long. Do you know why you were born capable mentally of accomplishing things for which your body is not prepared? The mind of man can go further, in other words, than his body. Why is this new age of possible interplanetary travel bringing such fear to most people today around this earth? Because we're afraid that vast new powers will fall into the hands of men who are unqualified to use them properly, men who will not properly guide and direct or control them, men who would stop at nothing in order to enslave the world and to elevate themselves in their vanity up as world masters. And most of the people on earth are afraid that such men exist somewhere on this earth and will get control of these great modern weapons of destruction. Now, such men exist, and they are in the lead in the race for control in outer space. My friends, it is to keep such men from reaching their ultimate goal that God made our bodies earthbound. Human beings are not yet qualified to roam the universe at will. Not until we have learned how to discipline our minds, how to bridle our whole human body with its emotions and its drives, will we be competent to leave this earth and to share dominion with God over the universe. Or does man want to share it with God? I think perhaps he wants to conquer God and take it away from God and do it all himself his own way. Men want to do things in the opposite way from God, the way that is opposite from the way that they should. Human beings want to conquer the universe before learning to conquer themselves. And man needs to conquer his own self before he's ever going to be fit to conquer the universe. Now, by so doing, they are heading straight toward world destruction. If God doesn't intervene, man will soon destroy himself. But God's going to intervene, and it isn't going to happen. Mankind was created to become God. My friends, that's a startling statement. But that is something that David knew. That's something that the early Christians knew. That is something that man has only forgotten. That man was created to become God. That sounds like a heresy. That sounds like something new today. It isn't new. Abraham knew it. David knew it. The apostles knew it. But most people like to think of themselves as already able to do the things that God does. They want to come and go as they please. Man wants to, he doesn't want anyone else telling him what to do or where to go. Men want no one to be superior to them, ordering them around. No, not even God. But did you know that the idea of journeying far into space is as old as civilization itself? For almost 6,000 years, innumerable human beings have harbored down deep the secret desire to escape from the suffering and the strife-torn world that they live in. But actually, it is that man wants to escape from himself. That's what he's trying to get away from. Escape from the workings of his own mind, his own lust. You know, I knew a man one time who was very unhappy, and he thought if he could only move to another state, he'd be happy, if he could only be there. Faraway pastures looked green. Well, later on in life, that man was able to go to this other place. And when he got there, that was the most miserable place he had ever seen in his life. And now he thought, well, the place where he came from was a paradise compared to this. So he wanted to get back where he was. He went back, and when he got back to his original place of life, why, that was worse than ever. Now he wanted to go to another place. And so he went to another state entirely, another place. And when he got there, my friends, it was a kind of a climate where there was a great deal of rain all through the winter, and he called it a rain-soaked hole. And it was the worst old rain-soaked place he had ever seen in his life. He wanted to get back to the original place again. And he never could find a place where he was happy. Well, his unhappiness was within himself. Happiness is a state of mind. It's within. It isn't without. And man just doesn't have it, and he's trying to get away somewhere where he thinks he'll be happier. And if you think you'd be happier up on some place where you have to live in some kind of a space jacket and take all the oxygen from the earth with you and the water from the earth and all of the food, and you can only live as long as these things from the earth lasted, well, you wouldn't be happy there, but man seems to think he would. Now, escaping into outer space is not going to solve humanity's vexing problems, my friends. Men just think it will. It can only create greater and more difficult situations, more fears of foreign enslavement, even greater tax burdens. Fleeing into space will never free man from his greatest problem, which is himself and within himself. But man hasn't understood himself. Man hasn't understood why he was put on this earth. And most of you listening don't know why you're not happy. Most of you don't know why you have fears and worries and frustrations, and you're just all unhappy most of the time. Now, it isn't a matter of whether you are in poverty or in wealth and luxury. I have known poverty-stricken people, ignorant, having nothing of this world's goods, who were supremely happy. And I've known multimillionaires that can have everything that money can buy, and they were miserable. Happiness is a spiritual element within your own self, and most of you have not found it. Now let's go on and see if we can solve this riddle. Fleeing into space is never going to get you away from yourself and from your miseries and your unhappiness. Wherever human beings go, human nature follows right with them, and there it is. And the greater the space over which human nature is extended, if we can get it clear away from this earth, the greater will be the number of things to argue over, fight over, and to war over, and the more unhappy we're going to be. My friends, that's why God must soon intervene in world affairs and stop this thing that man is doing. Every step that man takes into outer space brings him much nearer to the day of reckoning. God is soon going to put a stop to man's uncontrolled folly. Now, my friends, in this present day is not yet the time for man to be God and to try to act like God and to go out into outer space. Now, the present is only the time of training to become God. The earth is the place of that training, the training ground for entering God's family. So God put us here in human bodies to do that training, and that binds us to this earth. The universe is not the area of training. It is the reward opened up to us only after we have successfully completed our training here on this earth. But man doesn't want to train himself. He doesn't want to qualify. He wants to get up into outer space now. The first 6,000 years of human training is just about up now. Soon the time will come when human beings who have finished their course, spiritually that is, as the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 4 and verse 7, will no longer be earth-bound creatures, but they will become the very sons of God. And their bodies will not be composed of matter, and they will not any longer be limited by physical limitations to this earth. Perhaps we ought to compare ourselves to little chickens. Little chickens, yet in their shells, before they have hatched. All that can be seen is within the shells. Only the most infinitesimal amount of knowledge is perceived of what lies outside and beyond the shell. But when God intervenes in world affairs, that shell is going to crack wide open. Those who are ready to be born from above, born of God, to become very sons of God, spirit beings, divine beings, immortal beings, they will triumphantly and suddenly enter into the new world of the sons of God. No longer will they be bound to this earth for sustenance by material circumstances. Now I want you to notice God's promise in Isaiah, the 40th chapter in the 31st verse, because it's astounding. This is it, quote, "They that wait upon the Eternal shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." End of the quotation. They won't be mortal, they won't be human. But those who seek now to act like gods before they learn to bridle themselves, to control themselves, those who think that they are about to zoom up into outer space will see their far-fetched plan suddenly halted. For the time, for the very first time, they will see that they have been going in the wrong direction these past 6,000 years. They have tried to make a host of machines to carry man's body into space instead of perfecting their own minds first. They should have been trusting God all this time to provide the proper body for space travel when he sees fit to make us to become the born sons of God. Then we'll have the bodies with which we could go to outer space. Now, as you read in Romans, the 8th chapter and the 29th verse, "Behold what manner of love the Father, God the Father, hath bestowed upon us poor mortal humans down here, that we should be called the sons of God." Now, my sons, born of me, are human as I am human, and if we're born of God, my friends, we're going to be divine as God is divine. God is a spirit, and when we're born of God, we will be spirit and not matter. But now we're flesh. Now, it continues here in this 8th chapter of Romans, "Behold, now we are the begotten sons of God, and it is not yet manifested what we shall be like, but we know that when he, Christ, shall be manifested, we shall be like him." And my friends, his face shines like the very sun in brightness, his eyes are like flames of fire, and he rules and sustains and upholds the entire universe now, and we're to share his glory with him and his power, and we are to rule with him if we are willing to suffer now in order that we may overcome, that we may enter into this training ground that we're here for and become like God. We're told to be holy because God is holy. We are told to become perfect as our Father in heaven is perfect. But we're so far from perfect now. Now, continuing 1 John, the 3rd chapter, in the 1st verse. For we shall see him as he is, and everyone who hath this hope in him purifieth himself even as he is pure. Our vile bodies are going to be made like unto Christ's glorified body, and it is a spirit body, not a body of mortal flesh. But our bodies are earthbound now. Now, do you have the eyes to see the astounding import of what I just read to you out of the Holy Scriptures, inspired by the very Creator and the ruler of this entire universe? Whoever understands that we were born to become the very sons of God, very God, if you please, purifies himself now by bridling his body and controlling the thoughts of his mind, in subjection to God and the laws that God made to provide peace and harmony and love and beauty and happiness. Now is the time to become pure in character, as God himself is pure and without a single flaw. Then and only then will you be among those of whom Jesus said in the 14th chapter of John, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, wherever Jesus goes, there ye may be also. Now, it will come as a surprise, but the truth of our destiny, that we were born to become God, was once known by the religious leaders of this world. The truth has been deliberately hidden by men who wanted to make gods of themselves before they themselves had even learned to become real men. But you have to learn to become a real man and a right-minded man before you can become a god. Now let's turn back the pages of history for a moment. To the century immediately following the apostles, about the century after Christ had been on this earth and had died, had been resurrected immortal of spirit and ascended to heaven. Out of the dark past, we're startled, my friends, to find these words from Irenaeus, a Catholic bishop of Lyons, France. Now listen. I'm quoting. Irrational, therefore, in every respect, are they who await not the time of increase. Such persons know neither God nor themselves, being insatiable and ungrateful, unwilling to be, at the outset, what they have also been created, men subject to passion. You see, unwilling to be men. Before, notice, before they become men, they wish to even now be like God, their creator, and they who are more destitute of reason than dumb animals insist that there is no distinction between the uncreated God and man. For we cast blame upon him because we have not been made gods from the beginning, but at first merely men, and then at length God. That's what that early religious leader wrote, knowing that we are made men now, but we're to become as God. Yes, those are strong words. And other Catholics, like many another, once knew that men were destined ultimately to become God. And I want you to notice what Irenaeus continued to explain. He said, God declares, I have said, ye are ultimately to be God. And you are all, ultimately to be, that is, sons of the highest, quoting from Psalms 82, 6 and 7. But since we could not sustain, are not yet strong enough to shoulder, that is, the power of divinity, he adds, but ye shall die like men, setting forth both truths, the kindness of his free gift of eternal life and our weakness, that we are mortal and must die. How then shall he be a God who has not as yet been made a whole man? Or how can he be perfect who was but lately created? How again can he be immortal, who in this mortal nature did not obey his maker? For it must be that thou, at the outset, shouldest hold the rank of a man, and then afterwards partake of the glory of God. End of the quotation. That is quoted from the book Against Heresies, book 4, chapter 38 and 39, from the Anti-Nicene Fathers, volume 1. That is quite shocking, my friends, to know that these things were known and understood way back there, 1,800 and more years ago. Those are plain words. Which preserve a knowledge of the destiny of mankind a century after the death of Christ and the apostles. But where will you find the admission of a truth like that today?
It's been buried beneath the rubble of superstition by ungrateful men who were unwilling to be at the outset what they've been created, men subject to passions, as Irenaeus worded it. Today, in like manner, men are absolutely destitute of sound reason. They want to venture forth in the conquest of the whole universe before they have been willing to acknowledge their human frailties and before they have conquered them and made themselves ready. My friend, I want you to notice. In Genesis, the second chapter, in the seventh verse, it tells how God made man. And the eternal God formed man of the dust of the ground, not out of spirit, the dust of the ground confined to this earth, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and that's the air of this earth's atmosphere. And man became a living soul. Man became a living soul. Now, I read to you a moment ago how man was made in the very image of God. But was he made of the same composition of God? No, because you read in John, the fourth chapter, that God is a spirit. But man is flesh. Man is the dust of the ground. Now then, there is a resurrection of the dead, and all who have died are to be resurrected, and those who are converted, who have received the Spirit of God, are to be resurrected immortal forever. And here is what it says about the resurrection in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. Verse 45, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul of the dust of the ground. Yes. The last Adam, who is Christ, was made a quickening spirit, not made of matter, not confined to this earth. Now, the first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. That's from outer space. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we have only borne the physical, earthy image. The form and shape of God, yes, but not the composition of God. We, meaning Christians, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly, which means the spiritual image. My friends, if man will be patient, if man will wait until he has conquered himself, if man will realize that God set laws in motion so that there could be harmony and peace, when we're allowed to share his rule over the whole universe, then we shall be as God. Thank God that God himself has promised that he's going to intervene before man destroys himself in this mad conquest at the present time. Now, finally, before I close, I have a booklet titled, Why Were You Born? Why were you born? Do you know? Did you ever stop to think about that? Most people don't know why they're here. Why do you live? You didn't just happen, my friends. There was design, purpose behind your very existence on this earth. You were put here on this earth for a purpose. Now, just look about you a moment. Look at all of the species and the forms of living creatures, the animals, insects, birds, fishes, humans. How many of those whom God has created and started living are able to think, to plan, to devise, to make decisions, to exercise free will, and then to bring about by the making or creating of that which they have thought out, designed, and planned, and decided on, whatever they have decided to bring about? I tell you, we approach some of the powers of God Almighty even. You are a human being. You were put here for a purpose. I tell you, my friends, it's time you knew what it was. Write for the booklet, Why Were You Born? Why were you born? Now first, write down the call letters of the station to which you're listening, and then send your request to Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111 in Pasadena, California. That's Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111 in Pasadena, California. So now this is Herbert W. Armstrong saying goodbye, friends, until this same hour, 1 week from now, or until tomorrow and daily on most of these stations.
You have heard The World Tomorrow. Send your letters to Herbert W. Armstrong, Post Office Box 111, Pasadena, California.